Thank you, Anthony and Ogden, for talking with Hardworking Trucks today. Congratulations on both Pronto AI and the cross-country trip in a self-driving Prius. But first up, Anthony, can you tell us more about the Prius trip and what it revealed about your latest technology?
Thank you. It's great talking to you, and thank you for both your compliments. This is Anthony. The drive from San Francisco to New York was exciting. You know, when we set that as kind of a goal to the team early on, I got some long looks, because it is kind of a, benchmark for the industry and kind of a really crisply defined yet hard to achieve milestone. We thought that was a great way to showcase the technology. What we're offering for sale now with Copilot by Pronto, is not the same software and capability that we used, on the Prius. There's a lot of other experimental features that were there for crossing the country there, like lane changes and handling intersections and things like this. But, it was a great to actually see that the new approach that, I was thinking would work panned out to be that way. So I'm really excited about that too.
So what were some of the challenges in making that journey?
Yeah, so in the drive across all the states, and we did so without touching any of the controls, right? So no steering, no brake, no throttle. The challenges are the road conditions are very different. We went through two different spots where there was rain. We drove at night. There was an accident where one of the lanes was closed and they were actively offloading cargo from a rolled over semi. We saw some wildlife on the road. It was just, and then lots of construction, probably like more than a dozen or so construction zones. So the trick really was about building a system that doesn't just drive on a map, but generalizes the actual skill of driving, four highways to a larger set of situations.
Mm-hmm. And referring to your Medium post, you brought up the limitations of self-driving software, how it's really not good enough at this point to predict the future. Could you elaborate on that a little bit?
Yeah. So if you think about the progress that has been made by this technology, self-driving cars and trucks in the last 10 years, a lot of the focus has been put on detecting things like, making sure you see the pedestrians, making sure you see the cars, making sure you identify the lanes, positioning yourself in the map well. But where most of the difficulties and challenges come from today, while this technology is operating on the roads, is understanding what's going to happen in the next several seconds. Is this car going to cut me off? Are they going to cut me off and then exit the lane? Or are they going to cut me off and then slam on the brakes? What is this police officer doing on the side of the road? How is this deer in my lane going to affect my driving? Do I need to move over? Or do they have a velocity enough to get out of the way? Basically, it's understanding the world, not just digitizing it and being able to know what's what. You want to know how it's evolving so that from that you can decide how to drive.
Mm-hmm. It's interesting. Daimler Truck CEO Martin Dahm, and this was a couple years ago, said he wasn't really ready to fully embrace level 5 autonomous technology until it can, really distinguish, say, between an object and, say, a human being on the side of the road. So how far off do you think the technology is from making that distinction?
That distinction is almost there, right? So we can do that with a very, very high level of precision and recall. The issue is deciding, is that person trying to cross or are they just walking along with you? So, Martin was right about identifying people on the roadway is very difficult, but not so much like, is it a box or is it a person? But what is that person going to do in the next couple of seconds? Because identifying a person standing in the lane is easy. The issue is, you know, are they running across and they're going to get out of your way, or are they running in and then you're going to, you know, have a problem, you know, crossing there. So I agree that that's a concern. And the second part is really hard. I still think that we're a long way actually from, you know, a truck driving by itself, you know, unmanned on any kind of road, mm-hmm. you know, highway, whether it's in Arizona or Texas or California mm-hmm. or anywhere else for that matter.
And so curious, because obviously it is exciting on the one hand, but yet, you know, there's going to be reservations. So by and large, the trucking industry, what's the reception like right now in regards to self-driving tech? And, you know, is it going to take maybe increased regulations to get them to take the bait, for instance?
Oh, I don't think that forcing the technology on anybody is the solution. Mm-hmm. The technology is just, nobody has driven driverlessly on a commercial operation, you know, anywhere mm-hmm. today. So we're way too early on that. You know, we think what's interesting is there's also been very little, you know, advanced driver assistance systems in trucks, right? So there's very little, you know, automatic emergency braking and collision mitigation, you know, are fairly recent compared to passenger cars. Mm-hmm. And any kind of lane, you know, keeping assist, it doesn't exist at all, which I've been on cars for many years. Mm-hmm. And I think that there's a couple of reasons for that, but I think the fleets and the drivers that understand the benefits are really excited about it and want it now. Mm-hmm. Is it ready for everyone? By no means. Some people still love their 13-speed manual transmissions, and they like to shift and they like to drive, and we want to, you know, absolutely, you know, have them have that freedom. Mm-hmm. You know, we think that some fleets and drivers have moved to, you know, AMTs, you know, automated manual transmissions, and mm-hmm. they are looking for that next technology bit that, you know, improves driver recruitment, helps the driver retention, because it's a less stressful operation, especially for over the road routes where, you know, you're out of you're on the road for a really long time away from your family, and cumulative fatigue really starts to build up. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, just like you see people that have you know, luxury cars with or without some of these highway assist features, once they have it, they don't want to buy a car that doesn't have it anymore, because it's such a you know, intangible feature that they want to have that just makes their driving better, you know. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And that brings up the same thing for having a truck.
Right. So, interesting, of course, and this has come up, as you know, say issues involving, say, collisions with AI systems or autonomous systems. There is some moral ambiguity there, obviously. So, what's your take on that? I mean, ultimately, if the technology is perfected to such a great degree, can a machine still be held responsible, liable for an accident?
Yeah, I think we're a long ways from where that really becomes an issue. I mean, right now, what we're focusing on, you know, with a system that, you know, we're making available for self or for pilots right now, is a level 2 system. The driver is still on the clock. He's responsible. You know, she needs to be paying attention to what's going on. And this is a tool for making the driving easier and safer. Mm-hmm. I think what you're asking about is like trolley problem or other types of issues of, you know, suppose a problem happens, which outcome are you going to pick? Mm-hmm. And I think that's going to get sorted out over many years and is not really applicable today.
Mm-hmm. So interesting. I know you want to take on some of the toughest scenarios first in developing the system. So what do you think are some of the more challenging conditions, say, with autonomous tech? Is it going to be snow? Is it going to be, say, a dust storm in the Southwest? You know, various road conditions, maybe the lanes really just aren't really clearly defined by, you know, the yellow or white lines. So what do you think are some of the greater challenges?
Yeah, we think it's a little bit of all of that, right? We think also the challenges are not just specifically technical on the roads, but also, you know, on the workload being placed on the operator, right? So the examples you mentioned are definitely interesting, and we're definitely going to be testing those, and we have done some fair amount of testing on it. Like, for instance, we do fairly well in snow, which is a kind of a first, again, in the industry. Mm-hmm. Nobody really drives in snow. Mm-hmm. You know, we want to see a lot more of that, because I think what we've learned is in doing that, we actually learn a lot about how to make the system more reliable in regular conditions. So the system mm-hmm. that we're offering today doesn't offer, you know, driving in snow. We'll detect that, and then we'll politely, you know, decline for the system to drive. And if mm-hmm. the system was engaged, we'll warn the driver and, you know, request that he or she take control. What would I say there? The dust storm and even affects the visibility, you know, mm-hmm. it is a big problem. We don't use any LIDARs on our system. You know, we're purely camera based, and we supplement that with a radar. Mm-hmm. We also don't use maps because mm-hmm. we think maps are a crutch and don't actually help you in real world situation where the road changes. Mm-hmm. So construction zones is also a really good example of something very challenging that we want to focus on handling well, mm-hmm. because they're different every day and they're dynamic. You need to kind of be able to see them and sense them in real time mm-hmm. versus mm-hmm. mapping them in.
And you mentioned, again, in the Medium post, a new breed of tensor hardware technology and how it holds promise for AV. Can you speak to that a little bit more?
A little bit. I mean, we think that the performance of the hardware now, you know, is going to improve drastically in the future, but it's also reach the level that enables all of this technology to be possible, where if you look at like 2 years ago, even this just wasn't possible. So, mm-hmm. you know, I don't have any specific specs to give you there, but the general thing is that we're at an interesting point in time where the software finally has made these breakthroughs to be able to drive, you know, across the country. And the hardware that like allows that to happen is also come about roughly at the same time. So, mm-hmm. feel very lucky to be there this time.
Okay. And so I was thinking about, of course, the different interstates, you know, across the country. So do you envision, say, a certain part of the nation where your technology might be more conducive, say, maybe below south of the Mason-Dixon, for instance?
No, I think we want to see it drive, you know, everywhere. We do mainly highways and not on surface streets. So that's more of a differentiation there. Mm-hmm. But, you know, we're happy to help our customers in Texas, you know, or New Hampshire or, you know, Washington State or anywhere else in the country.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's interesting, as you know, there's a lot of folks in the industry developing autonomous vehicles that can make some pretty big claims. But in the long run, does that really just create more harm than good? I mean, what's been your take on that?
Well, I think there's been a lot of promises and a lot of demos, and you know, I've been responsible for my fair share of those as well in the past. Mm-hmm. But we're entering a new era of where now it's going to be about who can ship things and deliver things and really back those claims up with actual products that add value. And mm-hmm. the only way to do that is to make them safe and, you know, make them economically viable. Mm-hmm. So it's going to be good to have, like, you know, the hype separated from the facts.
Okay, so that finishes part one of our discussion with Pronto AI founders Anthony Lewandowski and Ognjen Stojanovski. And tomorrow we'll go ahead and take a look first at possible insurance savings in using autonomous systems. Very interesting topic for sure. And also, we know we've seen electric powertrain slowly but surely getting into medium and heavy duty segments. And so with direct drive systems, there's obviously faster response times at the wheels through these direct drive systems. And torque vectoring is obviously very impressive in this case. So could it be a safer team up, say, with an autonomous system and an EV drive? So that's something that that they'll speak to. Also, you know, there's been obviously a lot of negative headlines that Anthony has had to tackle in the past, you know, from Waymo settlement. And so we'll go ahead and have him speak to, you know, possible trust issues that some folks may have. Platooning is definitely a topic of interest. And for some OEMs, it's kind of fallen out of favor for one reason or another. And so we'll take a closer look at that. Availability of Pronto Copilot, when we can expect that to hit the market. Hacking, you know, with the more advanced systems, they offer a lot of promise in terms of safety and improved efficiency. But there's also concerns out there, too, about unscrupulous hackers just making their way in to these systems. So we'll have them talk about that as well. So thanks again for tuning in to part one. And again, look forward to airing part two tomorrow. Thank you.